And I think that there's going to be quite a few people that, for whatever reason, we had a little bit of a glitch on our my autoresponders. So I imagine a good majority of the people will be listening to this in replay, but that's okay. That'll still
that's
work.
That's fine. However it goes yeah. out, it goes out. Yeah.
Right. So I would like to introduce to everyone Janice Taylor, and you are so interesting. You have been on Oprah's best-selling summer reading or the book club, and you do all. You're an artist, and you have such interesting information, and it's so different from just the typical losing weight. So I'd love to have you just start talking about what you do and how did you get started with your weight loss, and can you start telling us about that? And
sure.
The topic, I love it, is I love, there's two things that I just tickle me. One of them is your title, Blow the Fat Cells Out of Your Mind. And I love your little saying about spread the word, not the icing.
Well, you know, if you can't have a sense of humor, you know, you're in trouble here. And
right.
I guess what I'm doing is I'm bringing some light, if you will, to a heavy topic. And what I like And what I'd like to say is I'm serious about weight loss, but not heavy.
Oh,
you know,
good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm serious about, you know, I lost over 50 pounds 9 years ago, over 9 years ago. And that's the miracle, because I'd lost
right.
it and found it many times. We all have our PhD in permanent dieting. In
exactly.
fact, in one of my books, All Is Forgiven, Move On, I start out by giving everybody their honorary PhD in dieting, because you already know what to do, don't you?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. So when I say blow the fat cells out of your mind, I mean that it's really your mind is really where it's all happening.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are some of your concepts about how do you actually, is it a mindset or a mind change, or what do you exactly do?
Well, I think that I'm coming from a perspective of that there's nothing wrong with you,
mm-hmm.
and that you're really okay. And it is a mindset, because it's when that evil twin takes over and sends you for the, you know, the what do they call them, the yodels? What are they called?
Mm-hmm.
I can't even remember anymore. That's how long it's been since I had them. But... it is a mindset. It's about training your mind. It's about listening. It's about mindful eating. It's about so many things. And I think that's the issue, is that it's so beyond just the food. And so many people just concentrate on food and exercise, and you can only do that for so long before you give up on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really... So I liken it to an Olympic swimmer. Have you ever seen an Olympic swimmer push off the side of a pool?
Right.
Well, yeah. Right. Well, in one great big thrust, they get to the center of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And we do the same thing. We push off the side of the proverbial diet pool. And
mm-hmm.
we give ourselves, right, we're starting from a place of deprivation, of depression, of not liking ourselves, feeling deprived before we even begin, depressed, you name it, right?
Right.
And so we don't like it, and we get enough energy from that pushing away from not liking ourselves to go and start a diet, which is what people are doing right now in January. They're starting
right.
that diet. And
mm-hmm.
then what happens is that the Olympic swimmer has been trained to go forward. The Olympic swimmer is swimming towards the victory. The Olympic swimmer has a compelling future. All the dieter is doing is pushing away from not liking him or herself. And so what happens when they get halfway across the pool? Well, they may have lost all the weight that they've wanted to lose, or half of it, or some of it, but that's But that's the problem. They don't have a compelling future. They've only been pushing away from, not liking themselves, pushing away from rather than going toward life. So when I work with people one-on-one in my books, and really my philosophy, if you will, is that you really are working on your whole life. It's a holistic event, and you're moving towards a compelling future.
Okay, so you're moving towards something rather than away from.
That's right. That's right. You know, and often if you hear people talking about their diet plan, they're saying, well, I've never been able to lose weight, been keep it off, but I always lose 10 pounds and then I start to gain it back. And that's all about the past, too. That's your past masquerading as your future. So we have to leave the past in the past, and we have to start anew and really watch our minds that we're not repeating the same pattern over and over again.
So what would be like an example of one of the things that you would do with someone that would be something really different that I would never have done in a typical dieting regime?
Well, have fun is one thing.
Yeah.
I think it's do a blend of, you know, my name is Janice Taylor, and when on my signature it says spread the word, not the icing, Janice Taylor, and underneath it it says wise, fun, and utterly useful. So it's really a mixture of wisdom is what I, you know, provide platters full of wisdom, fun, and information that's utterly useful. And even that's funny, utterly useful. We had a good laugh about that. I mean, but some of the zany things I've done is, like, you know, in my first book, Our Lady of Weight Loss, I made an altar to Our Lady of Weight Loss from a macaroni and cheese box, you know, with the macaroni. I glued it all over the box because you really wouldn't want to eat that, would you?
No.
No, for so many reasons. So many. So,
oh, that's...
Yeah.
And what was it like to be chosen for Oprah's... It was summer reading?
Well, the book had been out, and O Magazine had written about it and said that it was... that they called me a kooky genius. O Magazine said I was a kooky genius. And I just loved that because I was like, I'll be a genius any way I can take it. You know,
yeah.
I'll take that. And then when they put their summer reading list, they put a thing for self-help books they added on, and they added that. And it was a shock. I didn't know that it was there. It was someone said, hey, you're on that list. So it was very exciting. But mostly, but I think the big thing was that I am kooky. And that having O Magazine say that I was kooky genius gave me permission to be me.
Right.
And full blown.
That's wonderful.
And that's another thing when I work with people, you know, as the great Oscar Wilde said, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken.
Right.
I think a lot of our problem is that we're not ourselves. We keep trying to be somebody else or adhere to the rules of, you know, what we think other people want us to be.
Right. And so tell us about your books.
Well, Our Lady, it was all really kind of divine intervention in that it all went so well, you know how you say, oh, she was an overnight success?
Mm-hmm.
So after 50 years of suffering, then everything fell into place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So
I feel like that's going to happen to me someday.
it already has. Yeah, but after 50 years of suffering and trying all kinds of crazy things, it fell into place. So one day I woke up and I was enormously fatter than I'd ever been before. You know, I looked like Willy Wonka, the violet in Willy Wonka, like my face was going to explode if I had one more lifesaver. And so I dragged myself to one of those meetings where people, you know, weigh in and obsess about food and weight and go to the lecture, which,
right.
by the way, is a Weight Watcher meeting. And I think Weight Watchers is a great plan.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there many times. No, but I think it's a good food plan.
I heard it's got a 3% success rate because people just have to keep going back and back and back.
Oh, that's interesting, because I was talking to a client of mine, a coaching client this morning, and I said, you know, I think it would be foolish. I only know one person who's been going to Weight Watcher meetings for 14 years. And frankly, I don't know how I feel, you know, at what point are you, you know, great to be going, but,
right.
you know, I think if you don't know what a portion size looks like,
mm-hmm.
and you really need to have a plan, and you do, if you've been eating hog wild for decades, where do you begin?
Right.
So I think it gives you a handle on where to begin. And probably if people took it on that way and didn't look at it as the solution, but looked at it as a place to gather as much information as they can from that source, from me, if you don't mind.
Right.
And some mindful eating experts, and go down the list of what you need, then you could start to gather a holistic approach.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that it's a good place to start. But
right.
to think that you're going to go there and lose weight and miraculously keep it off if you haven't done any internal change is magical thinking.
Right.
You know, it's if your life isn't working, it's more about your life than it is about your fat.
Right. Now, and I'm sure you go through all of this in your books, but what changed in your mind to when you looked in the mirror and you saw this person looking back that you didn't really recognize it was overweight? What process did you go through that you figured out to help you lose all that weight?
Well, the first day, I mean, I was really desperate initially.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
And in a very bad mood. I didn't roll out of bed and say, whoopee, I'm fatter than ever. I think I'll go on a diet. You know, I was, I'd like, just like everybody else's, I was pretty freaked out. I was depressed, but I was in so much pain that I decided I'm going to do something about it. But what made the difference was I started to look at it from a different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I started to turn it in. I said, let me make this about something else. I really believe that if it's just about food and exercise, you'll go mad.
Mm-hmm.
Because you start to obsess about food all day long. It's like the opposite side of the same coin.
Right.
You haven't really changed. So I started to really, while I was learning how to eat in a relatively healthy manner, at the same time, I started to explore life,
mm-hmm.
and I decided in my own kooky way to make weight loss an art project.
Okay, and you are an artist too, right?
I am, but I don't want that to deter anyone because,
okay.
you know, people say, oh, well, you're an artist, and that you made an art project, and I'm not an artist. And I think it's just an example of what you can do to expand your life,
mm-hmm.
expand your horizons, get interested in something other than food.
Right.
You know?
And so
I did. I started to, and I thought, you know, I'm going to use these meetings as inspiration, and each week I'm going to make a collage. I'm going to cut mm-hmm. and paste pictures and make a collage. And I
uh-huh.
said, and the first series I did were sexy vegetable collages. I was, when I, What I was doing with a cucumber, I can't even talk about on the show, okay?
We can on this show.
Yeah, so I was like, well, I was like, at the end of the year, I'll either have on an art show, and maybe I will have lost weight, but let's see what happens this year. So I want everybody to hear this year. So give me a year and then give me the rest of your life, because this permanent change doesn't happen in a week.
Right.
So it was very wise of me, unbeknownst to me, I didn't realize how smart I was being, to say I'm going to give this a year and see what happens. And I will commit to eating healthfully and cleaning up my act. And at the same time, I'm going to make art, and I'm going to get interested in, you know, I was working full time in an office. So while I had artistic abilities or inclinations, I really got busier with it. I said, you know, I really like doing that. Let me do that. Let me get excited about life. What else can I do?
Right.
You know, I want to share, the other night I was on the phone with a client, and she was saying that, you know, If she and her partner, that so much in their life revolves around food, and she said, I don't know what else we can talk about. Or their life is sort of organized around food. And how many people could say that? You've organized your life around meals and going out with friends around meals and sitting and feeding your children, and a lot of your life is organized around food. So we started to just talk, and I said, well, what are the other things that you might be interested in that you could talk to your, you could say, instead of saying, pass the hot fudge, you could talk about something else. And we started to just investigate it, and we came up with a long list, from floral design to books to walking to cats and dogs, to decorating, gardening, music videos, aromatherapy, photography, calligraphy. Once she started to expand her thinking, and instead of saying, oh God, I don't really want to give up food. You know, and she was started to see that there was a lot in life other than food.
Wow. And so how did it, did you end up eating more vegetables then when you?
Well, because of the cucumber incident.
Yeah.
Well, yes, and I would say to people, which Weight Watchers is saying it now, and the government is saying it in all programs, I've been saying it for 9 years and so have other health experts, the more fruits and vegetables you can eat, the better. First of all, it's bulk, it's fiber, it's got a lot of water content in it. It's real food. It's not processed. You know, so, yes. So I had enough Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and whatever else to be like, you know, a gas cushion. If, you know, I mean, it was really until my, you know, well, too much information, but it's like, but the more vegetables you eat, the healthier you are. You have a glow. Yeah. And if you look at my before picture on my website, Our Lady of Weight Loss, and you look at my skin, I had rosacea, is that how you say it? Yeah. And all kinds of skin issues, and now I don't, and I know it was the food.
And let's see. Roz, do you have a question for Janice?
Well, I just listening and just knowing how much that's the case with it is more about the mind. And I think that's just great when you just bring that out to people, their other interests, so they have something else to focus on, because that's just not something everybody thinks about.
No, and focus is a good word, too. You know, you really want to focus on other things. But you're creating a new way of being. And it does, it's, there has to be consistency in it. It's almost as if you are really creating a practice. You know, people have meditation practices where every day they sit and meditate. Exercise is a certain kind of practice. Anything that you're doing consistently. And so you really need a specific plan of how are you going to create this new way of being, this new healthy lifestyle, you know, from top to bottom.
Right.
And focus
on it. You know, replacing the thoughts. It's like when you think about food, then when you've got whatever it is that you love and whatever it is that you want to create, you know, when that thought comes to your mind, then, well, I call it doing a mind switch or flipping the switch. So, and it's amazing how easily that can be done.
With practice.
And again,
you have to say, okay, I'm going to build that muscle. For some people, it's an entirely new muscle, and it does take some time to build that muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you have, I love your Kick in the Tush Club. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, it's Our Lady of Weight Loss's Kick in the Tush Club, and almost every Monday, unless there's a holiday, Our Lady of Weight Loss, through me, puts together a newsletter that I send out to give everybody that kick in the tush on a Monday morning, get back in gear.
Mm-hmm.
And so it includes a motivational musing, a righteous recipe, and a jigsaw puzzle, too, online jigsaw puzzle, because I create a new piece of art every week. And so then I turn it into an online puzzle. And I have to say that is a lot of fun. We got a lot of people out there clicking away the calories instead of eating.
Well, that's awesome.
Now,
yeah.
What advice would you give to women in menopause? Do you see a difference, and I'm sure the answer is yes, for women in menopause and being able to change this mindset? What advice would you give women that are, maybe they've never had weight issues before and all of a sudden now here it is, and what advice would you give?
Well, sometimes people say to me, I can't eat the way I used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, I could never eat the way you used to. I think just like everything else, there's some truth to it. You know, your metabolism slows down. Your people get a little, that middle action gets, your waist gets a little thicker and all that lovely stuff that happens. However, I hear lots of people using it as an excuse to eat more. So from whatever I've read is that, you know, maybe people gain 5 pounds through menopause. 7 pounds, but not 50. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so my advice is be careful there, because you're creating a lot of wiggle room with that menopause stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen more people pack away the Oreos telling me, you know, this menopause, I keep gaining weight while they're eating a stack of Oreos.
Right.
One friend in particular, it was very funny. We were there was a group of us together, and not in my house. I wouldn't serve cookies, but there was, and somebody said what was going on in their house, and she said, "Oh my God, that's a 5 Oreo problem." And she reached over and got the 5 Oreos, and then told me, and we laughed so hard. It was great, you know. But she then told me how menopause has really screwed her up and she's gaining weight. Well, I don't know which is, you know, what came first, you know, the cookies or the menopause. But clearly, maybe there's, you know, so my advice is don't use that as an excuse.
Right.
And tell the truth about what, you know, what are you eating that's more, that you don't need or that isn't, that's packing on those pounds.
What would you suggest about when people are drinking wine, and do you still drink wine, or how do you work that?
Oh gosh, I was going to give, this is what floated to the top of my head. It's going to say, if you're going to drink, go for broke man.
Go for broke men?
I'm just kidding. I was going to say, I don't really drink. I'd rather have a shot or two of tequila and have a real buzz on.
Uh-huh.
I think that you're doing, again, and, you know, I'm joking around here, but it's just because you have a good laugh, so, you know, you're a good audience. But I think that, you know, it goes along with telling the truth. You know, if you have a glass or two of wine, what's going to happen.
Right.
You're going to probably lose control of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that it has much to do with menopause, does it? Do you find that?
It just has to do with weight.
Oh, well, I mean, a glass of wine is 150 calories. It's no biggie to have 4 ounces of wine.
Right.
You know, but it's what happens after you drink the wine.
Exactly.
It's that you lose that, you know, you get the inhibition comes in and you start to want more food.
Right.
So you have to. So I'm really an advocate of telling the truth to oneself. So
mm-hmm.
Let's say I went to a party, or out to dinner, or I'm sitting home alone, and I decide I want wine, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would personally think we get into more trouble when we say, "Well, I'm just going to have one glass, and I'm not, and that's it."
Yeah.
And then have another one.
Uh huh.
I think we get into trouble when we basically are duping ourselves into thinking that we're going to stop when we know full well we're not. So
right.
I would rather say, you know what, I'm taking tonight off and I'm eating whatever I want. And as soon as this meal is over, I'm going straight back on plan.
Mm-hmm.
And be honest about it and give myself permission, then pretend that I'm going to be on the straight and narrow and not be. Because then you start beating yourself up. And if that's the one thing I really am against, I'm against anything saying and being mean to yourself. Think
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, there's no cause to be so judgmental and harsh to yourself. So
mm-hmm.
if you really want something and you're going to have it, I would rather that somebody be honest about it and not pretend and then get themselves into a situation where they're mad at themselves.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And what would be like a typical day for you your art things or your exercise or your eating, or what would be like a typical?
Well, you know, the food thing is so automatic now. You know,
mm-hmm.
I wake up. Well, the first thing I do is, you know, I have coffee. Sorry.
Good for you.
I like my
sorry for me.
No, there's, you know, some people, I think that this is a process, as everything
mm-hmm.
is. So
yeah.
I've read many reports that coffee is actually good for you, and a cup of coffee in the morning is no problem.
Right.
But I think that in the beginning I was eating many more things that I would consider unhealthy now. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was staying within a certain calorie limit and losing weight, but now my choices are healthier choices.
Mm-hmm.
So in the morning, I do have copious amounts of fruit. I have a bowl of fruit out on the counter at all times
mm-hmm.
and have it whenever I feel like it. And then I'll have oatmeal or eggs or whatever I'm in the mood for.
Uh-huh.
And I'll do some writing. I write early in the morning and talk to my clients one-on-one.
Uh-huh.
And then I take a nap. Well, I do, because it's a lot of hard work.
Right.
Because writing is takes a lot of concentration.
Uh-huh.
And working with clients does too, because I want to be fully present and with them. So it takes,
uh-huh.
you know, that takes a certain kind of energy. And then I get up and usually then I run some errands and do things I need to do. And then when I come home, I work a couple more hours and do whatever I need to do. I mean, that's more or less a typical day, because
uh-huh.
I have my own schedule. You know, I worked in a corporation for many years, and losing weight was a part of, I would say I had a very nice job, and everybody thought I was insane to leave it, because it was, you know, it was a nicely paid. It was well-paying, all things being relative, I don't know. some people would think it was a lot. Some people would think it wasn't that much, I suppose. But but there were a lot of perks and good things that came with the job. But it was a compromise. It wasn't really what I wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
Being heavy was a compromise. It really wasn't what I wanted to be.
Right.
I was leading this sort of middle place, and I think a lot of people do, of compromise. Well, this is okay. It's good enough. And when I started to lose weight, I said, you know what? It's not good enough. I'm going to change. I don't want to have this sort of mediocre existence. I want it to be what feels really great for me. Now, some people might look at my life and say, it looks pretty mediocre to me. But for me, I like my life now.
Uh-huh.
So I think that, you know, that's part of the thing. So I did have a very different life before I lost all that weight. And then I left the job to go out on my own and create this life that I have now.
Wow. Give me an example of a client that you've worked with and the transformations that happened for that person. What couple of your favorite clients?
Well, they're all my favorite, and I mean,
I know. Okay,
I really just want to say that I just like everyone is so different and wonderful and because the work I do one on one is on the phone, you know, phone coaching.
Uh huh.
That I'm able to work with people who are from all different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And who I would never have that opportunity to have this
right.
sort of peek into a different kind of living situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I live in New York City, and so everything is right there. I worked with someone who was taking her mom for an MRI, and it took her 9 hours to drive her mom to a place to get an MRI.
Oh,
and I'm like,
gosh.
Oh, my God, I could get one in my building. You know, so it's so these different lifestyles. I would say the thing for people is that it's they lose weight, but that's the secondary. That's not the big thing. The big thing is that they find peace in their life, that they have resolved some really big problems, that they are seeing the world from a very different place, that they're communicating with their loved ones in a different way. That they're changing their career. Oh, gosh, so many people that I've worked with, they've come to me because I've lost weight and because I have all this, I've written these books about weight loss and because I am a weight loss expert. And when they come, I'm very clear that this is not about your weight, it's about your life. And so their life changes. In ways that, you know, are obvious, where people move and change jobs. But really, it's really about loving yourself and finding that peace and that freedom from this insanity.
Wow.
You know, this obsession. You know, imagine no longer, you know, imagine the end of emotional eating that's not part of your vocabulary. Imagine that dieting
wonderful.
Doesn't exist any longer. You're just eating healthfully, that you're free of all that. Imagine all the space that you're creating in your brain to do something else in life.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm doing anything for anybody, I hope that I'm helping them to be who they really are, to have the courage to be, to explore their gifts and what they really enjoy, and not be concerned about what other people think of them. So I don't know if that's big enough for you, but
that's pretty darn big.
Yeah.
And do you work like with groups or individuals or both? Or
I do both. I do a lot of workshops throughout the country. The next one I have is coming up in March in Roe, R-O-W-E, in Massachusetts, in the Roe Conference Center. And I'm at Omega in the summer. I don't know if these places are familiar to you because they're on the East Coast.
Right.
And so I do the workshops and I do the phone coaching and I do the e-programs, which is, they're called the 21-Day Cure. And that's I have one that starts on January 10th, and it's called New Year, new fatitude. And
I like that.
So change your fatitude to fabitude. And you know, and because that's really is like, where's your attitude around this?
Change your attitude to fabitude.
Yeah, we had this whole big discussion in the house. My husband's like, I like fatitude to gratitude. I said, but this is about being fabulous. It's not about being grateful. So. But the idea, though, about attitude, so, you know, so much of, in quotes, dieting is optional suffering. There's real suffering, which we all suffer. We all have tragedy in our lives. We all have big obstacles that are real that we need to deal with. And then there's optional suffering. And if you eat a piece of cake and you're beating yourself up over it, that is optional suffering. You do not have to do that.
All right.
So that's part of the fabitude, fatitude to fabitude program.
On January 10th.
Yeah.
And that's over the phone or
that's an internet. I do it in real time. I'm always making things complicated for myself and that. Why not just put together a program and just send it out there? But I just love having that relationship with people.
Right.
And so I send it out in real time, which means I get up at 5 in the morning to send out my – so it's a course, you know, the coursework for the day with a note from me, some horribly cheerful morning note because I'm so happy with my cup of coffee. It's enough to nauseate anybody. And then and then with a music video to get up and shake your booty to. So we're having a lot of fun. And again, it's there's wisdom, it's fun, and the information is mind changing. And I just, you know, and it feels right to me to do it that way. I don't get the same huge audience because I'm answering people's emails.
Right.
So I have to limit it to a certain amount. I mean, but for me, I want to have that intimate or that. So I want to get to know you. I don't want you to just read what I'm writing. I really want to know you.
Yeah.
Call me crazy. Go ahead. Tell me that's no way to do business. What do you mean? But I really do. I want to get to know you. And if I can help in any way, I want to.
All right.
Well, I think a big part of what you do is making it fun. Because it doesn't have to be, you know, boring and drudgery and all that. That's so much a part of the mind shift. I mean,
absolutely, because people think that this has to be torture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that you're really, and it doesn't have to be. That's totally up to you if you want to. So I say, I won't make it, I wouldn't say that it's easy because people will be really mad at me, but I'll say it's as difficult as you want to make it.
Right.
You know, and some people make it a lot more difficult.
Right, and it's always like, what do I have to give up or something like that,
it's all about what am I giving up, and oh my God, what are you giving up?
Right, and
you're giving up foods that are you're giving up illness.
You're giving up depression.
Why do you want to hold on to that?
And it's all about, isn't fat all about protection anyway, or? A lot of it, protecting
your... Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I try to look at my own fat, you know, my own previous fat, and think about that and what way was I protecting myself. But I just think I wasn't happy. I just think I was leading. I wasn't, for whatever, but for me personally, it is for a lot of people, protection, but it doesn't have to be. I think I was just depressed, so I kept eating because it filled that hole.
Right.
You know, I was not expressing myself. I was not allowing me to be the kooky genius that O Magazine said I am. I was keeping it somewhat under wraps, you know, and going along with the program, you know, that program.
Right.
And I, I do believe that that's more of the problem for people. It's like, what's going on underneath? That, well, who's in there? That, who's the real person that wants to come out? What's not? What are you afraid to be or say? Let's let it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's one of the things that's so great about your work, and especially at the time of menopause, because it is so much transition, and so many women at this time in their lives, it's an opportunity to really create the lives that they want. And
yes,
when they're focusing on that creativity of expressing themselves, that's a way to not just do it with the food, because it does become food and wine or any type of alcohol,
mm-hmm,
can all be the same of,
mm-hmm,
just suppressing who we really are.
No, yes, anesthetizing, right. And if not now, you know, for the menopausal group out there, I have to say turning 50 was just the most empowering,
mm-hmm,
moment for me, because I thought, if not now, when? And I really took that in on a cellular level. I was like, oh my goodness, really, if not now, when?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm still young. I still have energy. And,
mm-hmm,
I still have time to create what I want.
Right. You look totally, you're on your website, you look like a totally different person. And I think, you know, your kookiness came out.
I think so, too. I think some people would laugh and say you were kooky to begin with, but now it's
right.
Full force, man. It's out there. And I think, you know, I'm definitely happier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about the weight, you know, it's about who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother, my poor mother, who's almost 95, is like, she said, I'm so proud of you that you lost all that weight. And I'm like, oh, so I said thanks, because she's 95. But like, I was like,
whatever.
thanks, whatever. Yeah, I was like. But that's not what I, you know, you don't need to be proud of me because I lost weight. Who cares? Be proud of me that I explore who I am, that I've achieved something other than,
mm-hmm,
that I turned it into something else.
Right.
It's not about the weight.
Mm-hmm.
A magazine was interviewing me at my home, and they were asking, my husband was there, and they were asking him, so, you know, how is it now that she's so thin? And they, you know, wanted him to say something about, oh, it's hot in bed or something like that, you know, and, you know, that was, you could see that's where they were going, so what's it like, you know? And he was like, oh, it's so great, I'm so proud of her, she's written two books, she's this great coach, she's the hypnotherapist, she's a workshop, he went on like the whole, he was like my PR man, you know, and he was so proud, and it was proud because I accomplished something, not because I was, you know, thin and hot and he got to sleep with somebody new, you know, and so I, you know, and I appreciate that.
Uh-huh. But you appreciate him a lot more for knowing the things that you've done.
Yeah, and then he got to have that hot person because I he got lucky.
Yeah.
Can I say that on your show?
Sure. You can say anything on our
right.
show.
So good.
We don't even have sponsors, so.
That's great. Great. And you won't get any.
We don't want any.
It's your way.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so tell us your website again and how people can sign up for your e-program, the 21-day e-program, and also how people can just get in touch with you maybe if they want to work with you or transform their life.
Absolutely. Yes, if you want to transform your life, call me. you can go to OurLadyOfWeightLoss.com. That's OurLadyOfWeightLoss.com. And you can also go to the 21daycure.com.
And is that
21? 2-1, okay. Right, the 21daycure.com. And, you know, that both, they link back and forth, but that has the e-program that starts on Monday. And on Our Lady of Weight Loss, right up top, it says sign up for the Kick in the Tish Club. It's free. It's easy. And then you can write me at janice@ ourladyofweightloss.com. And if you're interested in coaching or you want to send me an email, please do. Again, I really do want to know you.
Mm-hmm. And this is your busy time. Just like me, I teach people to quit smoking. So this is the busy time for you and me.
Yeah, it is.
New Year's resolutions.
New Year, and sometimes February, I find. I offer second chances in February.
Second chances. I love that.
You screwed up January.
Just screwed up January.
After you realize that your New Year's resolutions were so non-specific.
Uh-huh.
Like, I want to lose weight. What does that mean? I want to be healthy. What does that mean?
Mm.
You've really got to define it. I want to create wellness in my life. Money. How much? I want to change where I live. To where? Where are you going? So
yeah.
I think, you know, then we get down to the nitty-gritty. Maybe I'll call it nitty-gritty February. You know, and yeah.
Second chance February.
Yeah.
I
you like that? Because ultimately January comes and goes, and then you sit there, and then another way to feel bad about yourself.
Right.
I prefer February, frankly. I'm up for January. Anybody, you know, absolutely contact me and do the from fatitude to fabitude. Great, really life-changing program. And if it doesn't all work out in January, remember, February is right around the corner.
Sure. You have a second chance.
Right. You do.
Okay. Anything else, Roz, you want to add?
I think it's a great approach, and I just love the creativity part and the humor, because if those two things, if you don't have that, you know, what do you have?
That's right.
Right.
You got one big wad of depressed.
Right. Boredom.
Boredom, right. Oh. Yeah, we want to have thanks, Roz.
No, you're welcome.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Okay, and so I'll sign off for all three of us, and this is Lila Bryan, and I teach people how to quit smoking with Nicotine Solutions, and Roz Adams, the hormonelady.com, and Janice Taylor, Our Lady of Weight Loss.com, right?
Yep.
Okay, so contact any of us if you want to change your life in those different areas. So thank you, Janice, so much for talking with us today, and just loved it. And you're just a great, fun person to interview. And for those of you who are listening, it's really a treat to go to Our Lady of Weight Loss .com because it's she's got all kinds of fun things and kooky things, and just it's really a kick. So
yeah, more kooky to come this year.
Yeah, oh good.
Well, that's
yeah.
great.
Gonna up the kooky.
It's
okay,
a lot of fun. Just being on the website is you can do that instead of eating.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
That's right. That's right.
So,
thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
It's so delightful to meet both of you and talk.
Yeah, you
and
too.
Let's do
you
it
too.
Again.
Yes, let's do it on maybe Second Chance February.
Fantastic.
Okay, thank you so
okay,
much,
thanks.
And we will be in touch.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.